Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Graham Lyons here again. I'm a scientist and a cattleman back on the farm in South Australia. It's November the 5th, which makes it Guy Fawkes Day, which hardly anyone bothers to celebrate these days, but I think he was a man with good intentions, as has been shown, and the year is 2022. I'm an experimenter, so today I'll be trying something a bit different. I'll recite a short article that I've written for an exciting new publication just launched in Perth by Dr. Judy Wileyman, who was the author of this excellent book here, Vaccination, Australia's Loss of Health Freedom. First published in 2015, so a very prescient work. Look what's happened since early 2020. Anyway, she's probably Australia's number one so-called anti-vaxxer. In other words, she's a smart person who's not afraid to stand up against the medical tyranny which we've seen rolled out. And this publication is called The Light Australia, www.thelightaustralia.com, and it's based on the excellent publication called The Light Newspaper in Great Britain. It's been around for about 2 years, and it's full every edition with COVID and quacks truth. That's my term for the vax, the poison vax. Anyone who's heard me before knows that. It's available free online. The first edition is already out there. And Judy asked whether I could write an article for it. And this is what I've written. And it's called Fear Not the Handful of Dust, subtitled The Wasteland in the Time of COVID. So here goes. This is the centenary of US poet T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, published in 1922, together with James Joyce's stream of consciousness novel Ulysses. The Wasteland was a prescient work, one of its themes being the decline of so-called Western civilization. A century on, I believe we are witnessing its final accelerated phase. Eliot's principal metaphor is a desert-like wasted land which presents a heap of broken images where the sun beats and the dead tree provides no shelter. All that can be revealed to the son of man is fear in a handful of dust. From the famous passage, which I've always found fascinating, albeit disturbing, and I will show you something different from either your shadow at morning striding behind you or your shadow at evening rising to meet you. I will show you fear in a handful of dust. What does Eliot mean by this? A sinister suggestion of death, mortality, and the ultimate futility of all human endeavour? Is it derived from Ecclesiastes 3:20? All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and turn to dust again. Hence an invitation to ponder mortality. Is he referring to physical existence undermined by a fear of death? An all-consuming fear that drives humanity to destroy humanity, as witnessed in the industrial slaughter of the so-called Great War several years before, resulting in wasted land and spiritual emptiness? Or is it the essence of his metaphor of civilizational decline, which we now see writ large in the combination of a stupefied, soul-destroying bread and circuses, popular culture, and the zealous determination of the minority but powerful, woke, so-called elites to deconstruct and cancel what remains of a once rich and glorious cultural heritage? More specifically, I think fear in a handful of dust signifies that sense of nameless dread that can arise without an immediate cause. Anyone who has not experienced such a sense of impending doom at some time during this past almost 3 years has not been paying attention. This reminds me of the final chapter of Lawrence Durrell's Mount Olive. This is somewhat indulgent on my part. My favourite novel. The author describes the mounting unease of Nauruz, the Egyptian Coptic squire, on his vast estate near Alexandria, as he realises that he is in mortal danger. The corrupt government has sent a team of assassins to kill him. And we can make the link with our own, not governments, corrupted by the globalists, which have turned against us and are trying to kill and injure us with the poison quacks. The day of his death was like any other winter day at Kham Abu Gurg, or if it was different, it was only in one small and puzzling detail, the significance of which did not strike him at first, the servants ebbing away to leave him alone in the house. Once last week, Ali had reported the presence of unknown men upon the land, but he had not given the matter a thought. Often a stray Bedouin took a shortcut across the plantations, or a stranger rode through the property bound for the road to the city. Here he dismounted to take some cuttings, which he wrapped and stowed carefully. Then he straightened up, for he had heard sounds of movement in the green glades around him. Difficult to identify, to isolate, slither of a body among the leaves, or perhaps a pack saddle catching in a branch. The noise again, a water rat plopped into the channel and swam quickly away. Among the bushes on two sides of the ride, he could see indistinct movements. He sat as immobile as an equestrian statue, his pistol grasped lightly in the left hand, his whip lying slightly behind him, his arm carved in the position of a fisherman about to make a long cast. One of the lessons we learned from the COVID coup, according to Zero Hedge, was most people in our society are cowards. They will jettison all the fine values and principles which they have been so loudly boasting about all of their lives, merely to avoid the slightest chance of public criticism, inconvenience, or even minor financial loss. One of the most convincing explanations for the wholesale submission of most of the populace of Western countries to authoritarian COVID diktats, usually without a fight since February 2020, is found in Ghent University psychology professor Matthias Desmet's mass formation hypothesis. People in the grip of mass formation, the in-group or mass, become intolerant of dissident voices emanating from the out-group, who are those smart enough to see what is really happening. And if it proceeds far enough, will actually join the government in committing atrocities against out-group members. I think we've all witnessed tendencies for this kind of behaviour during the COVID coup. A false dichotomy of safety or freedom is presented, but an imposed technocracy merely entices the masses with the illusion of safety, keeping you safe from COVID, and ultimately provides neither safety nor freedom. Hence those who fear death, who are paralysed by that fear in a handful of dust, provide suitable candidates for totalitarian control and will likely find themselves eventually trapped in a dismal dystopian prison, slaves on a digital plantation. We must be willing to live a life with inherent risks and in which we will eventually die. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's Jesus speaking, Matthew 16:25. I reject the notion, which could be inferred from parts of the wasteland, of the futility of resistance against civilizational decline, which, as we are witnessing, is by no means an inevitable organic evolutionary phenomenon. Rather, it is characterized by tyranny imposed by a self-appointed so-called elite which embodies breathtaking arrogance and disregard for the masses of humanity which it has managed, or rather enslaved within its system, for thousands of years. The enormity of this atrocity surely negates the notion that all human endeavour is meaningless. How can standing up against the attempted imposition of a global corporate totalitarian dystopia be regarded as futile? This surely is the ultimate battle for humanity, and also the supreme test of courage, that most intrinsic of human qualities, without which all of the others are mere window dressing. Fighting against this pure satanic evil represents the ultimate test of our worthiness as humans to survive this fraught historical phase. It requires triumphing over fear in a handful of dust. Does impending danger bring out the best in us? Or do we cower in fear? Or, like so many, pretend the danger is not even present, which is merely a ploy to make their cowardice less obvious? The evil afoot in the world is now so pervasive, I can almost smell and feel it. It is our duty to oppose it, and the example provided by each of us matters. Do we provide a beacon of resistance to the imposition of tyranny? Or do we follow the go-along-to-get-along pathway of least resistance, the way of the bien-pensant? It is the dissonant voice that will disturb the mass formation. The brave do not live forever, but the cautious do not live at all. And the freedoms we forgo now will be those our grandchildren will never know existed. The older among us can be inspired by these reflections of Tennyson's aging Ulysses. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
That was a nice piece,
right? How was that?
Yeah, not bad.
Well, I put a fair bit of effort into getting the right words for that one. That's why I felt I had to read it. I didn't want to get any words wrong.